Well, tonight we begin the Triduum, the holiest 3 year days of the entire year. And on this night, the Holy Church instructs all priests to preach on three things: the Holy Eucharist, the priesthood, and the mandatum, the mandate from Jesus to wash feet. I want to do so through a gospel story that has been on my heart for many months now, and it's from Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. We know the story. There was a man who had been struck by robbers. The man had been walking away from the holy place of Jerusalem, and he was walking to the rather godless place of Jericho. The church fathers were quick to point out that the direction of his life in this moment is important. He was on the wrong road, or at least he was walking in the wrong direction. So he was not entirely without blame for his predicament. You could say that he helped to dig his own grave. But there he was, lying on the ground, helpless. The robbers had clubbed his head. He was bleeding. He was bruised. He was beat up. He was practically dead. The scripture even says that the robbers had taken his clothes. And so there he was, lying in all his helplessness and indignity in the dirt of a road. As he squinted there, how happy he must have been when he saw the priest coming. He was a man of the cloth. Surely he would help me, he must have thought. But we know the priest walked by on the other side. Then a Levite was coming, a man of God as well, for the Levites, they were known for taking care of the temples and the tabernacles. But alas, he walked by also on the other side. But then, we know the story, when all hope seemed lost, here comes a Samaritan, a foreigner, an outsider, even an enemy. The Jews, as this man on the road was, and the Samaritans were divided over everything: religion, culture, history. No Jew would expect anything from a Samaritan. Listen to the familiar verses that follow. A Samaritan was traveling and came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." The ultimate Good Samaritan is Jesus. He was the ultimate foreigner, you know, because he came from heaven to earth. And he finds us laying on the wrong roads, and often going in the wrong direction. Sometimes we're even a little aimless in it all. He finds us there. We are beat up, in pain, in danger, overlooked often by everybody else, even those who should care the most. And he, the Good Samaritan, Jesus, comes to us, and in his humility and in his power, he kneels down, takes off his fancy garment, and throws wine and oil into our bodies and our souls. That's the sacraments. We will soon receive the oils tonight, blessed by the Archbishop at the Chrism Mass on Tuesday. The oil of the infirm, the oil of the catechumens, the oil of chrism, These are the oils of the sacraments. They are the oils of our salvation. Then we will celebrate the Holy Eucharist, the greatest sacrament of them all, the source and the summit. Because you see, in the Eucharist, the ultimate Good Samaritan, who is Jesus, does something even more astonishing. He does not merely leave us with gifts outside of himself, like bandages or oil or coins to pay the innkeeper. He gives us himself. The same Jesus who bends down to lift us out of the ditch now becomes our food and our medicine. He places his very body and blood into our bodies and our veins. The Eucharist is not simply a reminder of love. It is love himself. Still alive, still moving, still healing. And at every single Mass, divine love takes flesh. Not in the room of the Last Supper, this time, but on our altar. He does not just rescue us and send us on our way. He stays with us. He abides in us. He unites himself to us. And so the deepest healing of the wounded soul is this: communion with the one who refused to pass us by when we were lying down, having gone on the wrong road in the wrong way. Jesus gives himself to us in the simple form, the humble form of bread and wine in the Eucharist. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that the most important interior disposition that we must have when we come to Holy Communion is a desire to be one with Jesus. That's the most important disposition that you and I must have as we prepare to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ at every single Mass. And who gives us the Eucharist? Who gives us all the sacraments? The priest. If we had not the priest, we would not have our Lord, said St. John Vianney, the patron of all priests. Who placed him there in the tabernacle? It was the priest. Who was it that received your soul on its entrance into life? The priest. Who nourishes it to give it strength to make its pilgrimage through life? The priest. Who will prepare it to appear before God by washing that soul for the last time in the blood of Jesus Christ? It is the priest, always the priest. And if that soul comes to the point of death, who will raise it up? Who will restore it to calmness and peace? Again, it is the priest. St. John Vianney continued, you cannot recall one single blessing from God without finding side by side with its recollection the image of the priest. The priest is not a priest for himself. He does not give himself absolution. He does not administer the sacraments on himself. He is not for himself. He is for you. Leave a parish, said St. John Vianney, for 20 years without a priest. Come back, they'll be worshiping beasts. The priest is the one who, in the name of Jesus and even in the person of Jesus, continues to throw into souls oil and wine. The word sacerdote in Spanish, it's much better than the English word priest. It's more aligned also with the Latin word sacerdo. But sacerdote means sacer, sacred, dote, to give you. The priest is the one who gives you holy things. The giver of holy things, that is the priest. He gives teachings of heaven, dogma, doctrine, guidance, yes, but most importantly, the sacraments. Who was the priest who baptized you? Who gave you your first Holy Communion? Who gave your relative their last communion on their deathbed? Which priest was it who absolved your worst sin that nobody else knows about? Who tried to guide you when everything seemed lost? Who was there praying with you and for you? Who inspired some love of God in you that you didn't have before? I think, of course, of my hero, Father Charlie Chesborough, one of them. Today I also spent time in the bench in front of Father Paul's grave. Tonight I will be using at Holy Mass the chalice of that priest, Father Charlie, who inspired the love of God in me, who taught me friendship with Jesus, who gave me my sacraments, who was the first one to say to me, "You should be a priest." Today we pray for our priests. Young men, pray about being a priest. Don't assume it is somebody else. If men stopped saying yes to the priesthood, tabernacles would be empty, but even worse, souls would be empty and there would be no mass, no baptism, no sacraments. It would be like Good Friday every single day. There is great need for priestly vocations, and that is why Jesus specifically tells us to pray for that. In the gospel, it is the only intention he orders us to pray. "The harvest is abundant," he says, "but the laborers are few. Pray to the master of the harvest that he will send out laborers for his harvest." And some of you young men are not just meant to pray that, you're meant to be an answer to that. The last thing that Jesus did for us is he washed feet. It is the third Holy Thursday gift. Jesus bends down to do the work that was so lowly and frankly so gross that only the lowest of the slaves were expected to do it. But here, the God of the universe gets on his knees to do it, and then he says to them, "As I have washed your feet, so you must also do." It is the mandatum, the mandate. And it means that all of us are drawn back to that same scene on the road of that man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. We are all going to encounter that man, the one who is wounded, overlooked, inconvenient, maybe even partly responsible or largely responsible for his own situation. The priest serves him in a sacramental way, as I have said, but the rest of everybody is called to serve him in ordinary, daily life kinds of ways. Charity, we must always remember, is the most important, most essential ingredient to holiness. In how we treat our spouse when we're tired. It's how we respond to our kids when they test our patience. It's whether we notice the person who is ignored, rejected. It is whether we forgive when it's hard. It's whether we show up when it would be easier not to. Sometimes it's thankless, but we do it. Not only, and in doing it, in washing the feet of others, we find that that is the only way to health, happiness, and holiness. The pouring out of oneself is the only way that we can actually be filled. So, tonight, let's put ourselves in the place of that man lying on the road. Think of times in your life when you were going the wrong way, when you were beat up, maybe not physically, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Think of times when you were lying there and maybe nobody else noticed, but then Jesus came for you. He did not pass you by. He knelt down. He poured the oil and wine of salvation into your souls, into your wombs. He gave you the sacraments, and in them his divine life. He sent you, in all the chapters of your life, the right priest at the right time. He washed your feet, he cared for you, he paid the price for you, more than 2 denarii, as in the story in Luke 10, but his own body and blood on the cross. And he's still doing it. Through these 3 Holy Thursday gifts, the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Priesthood, the Holy Mandatum, he is not just healing us, he is leading us somewhere. He is bringing us to the ultimate inn, where we will finally be safe and whole and finally at home. And it's called heaven.